Hey, you're listening to The Treehouse Storyteller. Meet me in the treehouse for God-shaped storytelling. Treehouse Storyteller is where we can come together as messy parents seeking Jesus together and raising kids to love him too. If you aren't scared of addressing cultural issues head on and finding a deeper understanding of the biblical worldview to share with your children, then you've come to the right place. I'm not afraid to be transparent and tell all of the juicy details. Our children are being chased by the world, and it is our job to be well-equipped and know not only how to lead our flock, but successfully send our arrows out into the world one day to build the kingdom. So snuggle up by the fire or soak up the sunshine with those earbuds in and meet me in the treehouse for some biblical storytelling. Hey guys, welcome back to the Treehouse Mobile in Nashville, Tennessee. We're at the NRB and I have an incredible guest with me. I'm so excited to have her, Heidi St. John. Welcome to the Treehouse.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is great. I love these interviews. It's so much fun.
They're super fun. Heidi, I want everyone to know a little bit more about you. So could you give me a quick introduction of who you are and just your family life and your couple organizations that you have, and then we'll dive in deeper. She's like, no, that's way too much.
Well, I'm like, I don't even know how to do a short introduction anymore. Oh. I think I always tell people the most important thing about me is that my husband and I have been married for 35 years.
That's a very important
detail. We have 7 children and soon to be 5 grandchildren. Oh. And so I'm a mamsie, which is my favorite thing in the world. When the Lord asked me to sort of start speaking into the culture, my kids were still very young. Most of our kids are grown now. We have 1 child left at home. But I am passionate about what's happening in the culture,
yes,
and especially as it relates to education. And I believe strongly that what's happening in our government school system is going to determine the trajectory that the nation is on. And so out of just a desire to help that, we founded Firmly Planted Family. We have the largest homeschool resource center in the United States right now, probably about 800 students there. We're helping parents pull their kids out of these woke, broken schools and and reminding parents that the responsibility to educate their children belongs to them. I'm the author of 10 books. I have a podcast that your audience might enjoy. It's called Off the Bench with Heidi St. John, just past 24 million downloads. And so that airs 3 days a week. We bring guests on. And in fact, your brother's been on my show.
Yep.
So I am just passionate about the intersection of faith and culture. And I believe strongly that Christians belong in every sphere of influence. So whether it's education or entertainment, politics, Christians belong in those circles of influence. And I ran for Congress in 2022. And I'm mostly just feeling like, you know, if God sees, or if more people see people like me and like you stepping up to the call and moving into these spheres, that we will encourage other people to do the same.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. All right. That's a wrap, guys. Well, we are so excited to have you. I would love to hear more about education. So let's talk education in this woke system. You touched on it. We have very much a sideways education system.
Absolutely.
What have you seen from your perspective?
Yeah.
Why is it woke? Why is it dangerous for our kids to be in the public school system today?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first of all, I don't think that... Whoa, that was amazing. We'll just say that again. That was so exciting.
The whole background just went ba-boom.
Like I fell into it. I think the education system is not sideways. I think it's wicked. And I think that the reason why we're having so much trouble with it right now is because generations ago, when the public school system was founded, it was actually founded on the premise of removing children from their parents. Our system in the United States of education is actually modeled after oppression system of education, which was a reaction to the Napoleonic Wars and people going, how'd you get your guys to win and our guys are losing? I mean, I am
paraphrasing,
giving you the brief synopsis. But the bottom line is that the system of education that we are living with right now in the United States is not broken. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. And parents need to understand that. So what we see in the system today are activists who are disguised as teachers, and they're not teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore, right? They're teaching their kids pronouns, and they're going to tell them that there's 400 genders and they could be a narwhal whale on Friday if they want to be teaching things that we know to be blatantly true about the world in which we live, such as biological realities of male and female. And that is the tip of the iceberg. Every year in this country, we are graduating by the hundreds of thousands kids out of our public school systems who hate the country.
Yeah.
And these are tomorrow's leaders. It should matter to us. And so to me, you know, I used to, like I was telling you before we started recording, I used to sort of soft step this issue and tell parents, oh, hey, you do you.
Right.
And now I'm like, the Titanic is sinking. The barn is on fire. At what point do we get the horses out? At what point do we stop polishing the brass on the Titanic and abandon ship?
Yeah.
And I think it is way past time to abandon ship. And there are other people like me who have been out on the front lines of this now for over 20 years, sounding the alarm. And I think it's reaching a critical point.
Wow. That's awesome. Now is the time. You heard. Yep. Okay. So to contrast that, all right. So we bring our kids out of school. Now, what do we do? What do we do? I know you are super, super pro homeschool. You have an amazing thing that you just started.
Yes.
I'd love to hear your homeschool journey.
Yes.
Because I'm sure it started small at home.
Well, I never wanted to homeschool my kids. I mean, I think that's really important for people to know. I consider myself to be an accidental homeschooler. I was the woman who was making fun of homeschoolers. You know, this is back in the late 80s, early 90s. I really didn't know anyone that was homeschooling. And the people I did know that I thought were categorically bizarre, right? These are the people that, you know, didn't have social security numbers for their
socially
kids.
Socially awkward.
Yeah, and I thought everybody's kids are socially awkward. Turns out your kids are going to be as weird as you are. It doesn't matter if they're in the public school or a private school or homeschooled. If you're weird, there's a high probability that your children will also be weird. But I never planned
on... My kids are in trouble.
I know. Wait, look out. I never planned on home educating, and God really got a hold of my heart when our oldest daughter was in second grade. She's now 32 years old and a wonderful mother of four young children herself.
Wow.
But at that point, I really did not have an understanding of the importance of education. And I think what your listeners, what your viewers need to understand is something that the government schools have understood for a long time, and that is education is not neutral. It never has been. It never will be. Education, the whole point is to pass down generational wisdom from one generation to the next. And when God opened my eyes, He opened my eyes to this truth and simultaneously broke my heart for what I had been allowing into the mind and heart of my own daughter. Jesus said in Luke 6:40 that when a student is fully trained, he'll be like his teacher. So it begs the question, who's teaching your child?
Yeah.
And I would say that 90% of the parents who drop their kids off at government schools, and in some cases even Christian schools, do not know who's teaching their children. They don't know the biblical worldview that they're coming from. And education is discipleship. So see this now, the fruit that's being born out in this generation. And when God showed it to me, when He opened my eyes to it, there were a series of circumstances around this, of course. But I pulled our daughter out of the government school, you know, knees knocking. I liked her teacher. I didn't have like a big bone to pick with the public school at that point. I mean, this was 25 years ago, right? I wasn't the warrior for education that I am now. But God changed our family, and I think the trajectory of our family through the process of home educating our kids, because the government schools are taking from parents something that God has given to us that is inherently precious, and that is the gift of time. It's time. And so what are we doing in this country, and what have we been doing for generations? We're dropping our children off 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, 9 months out of every year. We're sending our kids to be educated by Rome, and then we wonder why they turn out as Romans.
Right.
Well, because Jesus said that when a student is fully trained, he'll be like his teacher. And people will say to me, well, that's great for you. It works great for, you know, that's fine for you, but it doesn't work for me. And I feel like the most important thing that we can do right now is to lovingly exhort parents with young children to say the responsibility for educating children belongs first to the parents.
Yes.
And if Heidi St. John can do it, the woman who can't keep house plants alive, and God can help me to do the thing that I thought I could never do, surely He can help people who are listening today. Your children are precious, and we need to see them as precious and safeguard their hearts and their minds.
Yeah. That's wonderful. I have a sign in my house that keeps me in check, and it says something like, the greatest work you will ever do is inside the walls of your
Absolutely
home.
Absolutely true.
And I need that all the time because I am just driven to go down my own, like, hey, I've got to get these things done.
Yes.
And I love being focused on that, and I love just driving ahead. And then I have to go, wait a minute, I need to give this to my kids and my family first.
Yeah.
And so what would you advise mothers like that with that kind of mentality that maybe they're career focused or they're finding their identity or they're, you know, in their successes or what those so-called successes look like?
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for us. There are nuances to the conversation, right? And so this idea that women are not supposed to work outside the home is a wrong one, right? Mm-hmm. There are just dozens of examples in the Bible of working women, working mothers. I just did a teaching on this over at Faith That Speaks. I gave the members of my ministry there a theology for working women. And I think those are things that are admirable. Work is good. It's not bad.
Yes.
The Proverbs 31 woman, she worked. I mean, that woman was fierce.
She's
don't mess with that woman
very
in the
busy.
Marketplace. She will take you out. But what we need to be able to do, and this is where the feminist movement has so lied to women, they have told us that career is more important than family.
Mm-hmm.
They've told us, well, you can have it all. Well, mm-hmm. here's the truth. You can't have it all.
Yeah.
You can't have it all. Like you're not going to be able to pursue a career full force and put full force into your children during the years when they are young. And so I think the goal then becomes, I mean, I'll be 54 in a couple of weeks, right? I like to think I still have a lot of life
left
in me.
We have the same birthday.
I'm
March 1st.
I'm March 3rd. We're so close.
Ooh, girl. Almost.
Yes,
we're like
we are so close, except for the year difference, but we won't talk about that.
But I like to think I have a lot more years ahead of me to build a career if I want to visit with my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
But the years when my kids were little, the Lord really had me focus on raising those children. And you don't get a do-over in motherhood.
Yeah.
And it's a lie that you can have it all.
Yeah.
And so what the Bible teaches, and I think this is what we need to teach women, working is fine. And, you know, a lot of us are, I've always been a working mother, right? I work nights at the hospital. I've done all kinds of work throughout my life as a mom, but my primary focus was on my children. We have to embrace God's priorities for the season that we're in. And we know as women, the life of a woman is very, very seasonal.
Dude,
right. There are only a few years in which we can have children. I am beyond that now. I can't have any more children. But the years that I had that God gave me the ability to have children, we embraced and God gave us 7 beautiful kids. Yeah. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And I think when we look at our life in seasons, Ecclesiastes says that there's a time and a purpose for every season under
That's
heaven.
Right.
And so rather than just go, I want to have it all now.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, what season am I in? And how can I embrace the season that I'm in so that my life can bring you glory and I can get the most out of my life? Because there will be a next season.
Yeah. No, that really speaks to me personally because I always have people go, how do you do all of this? And homeschool and podcasts and write books and, you know, all these other things. I'm like, it doesn't all happen at the same time.
That's right.
It's okay. It's like a 5-course meal. Now I'm on this plate. Now I'm on that plate.
Yes, that's right. And you have to be able women, God has given, I think, a very unique ability to be able to put your finger on the pulse of your family,
mm-hmm.
right? We are the ones who are driving the agenda of the home life, right? Because God has given women a domain in the home. And so when we go outside of that, I'm not saying that you can't work. I'm not saying you can't pursue things. I mean, I've written 10 books over the years that I've been raising children. But what people maybe not understand about me is I wrote those books in the middle of the night. You know, I was writing those books when my kids were in bed and working on the blog, you know, when I had a few minutes. I didn't want it to take away from my children.
Sure.
And the seasons that it did take away from my children, I look back and just go, man, I could have done that better,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we have to just be constantly bringing our hearts into alignment with the Lord so that we can listen to Him and do what He wants us to do in the season that we're in.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
now I can look back at my life, right? We're either in a season, and this is really good for viewers to remember, we are either in a season of reaping or we are in a season of sowing.
Yeah.
And we want to sow well.
Yeah.
So that when we're in a season of reaping, we reap a harvest of joy. Right. And part of that is just focusing on the season that you're in.
That's awesome. So on that note of homeschooling, I want to hear about this amazing thing. I just heard a rumor of your amazing giant homeschool resource that you guys started. What is it called again?
So it's called Firmly Planted Family. This is the name of our nonprofit organization.
Okay.
People can find it at firmlyplantedfamily.org. And if you search for the Firmly Planted Family Homeschool Resource Center on any search engine, it's going to come up. It's the only one of its kind really anywhere in the nation. Before we started the Homeschool Resource Center, my husband and I ran an organization that planted homeschool cooperatives in churches. Okay. And so we planted probably well over 100 homeschool cooperatives in churches around the United States, a couple of them in Canada. And now we are focused on giving more resources to parents. And I will briefly tell you why. When I started homeschooling my children, I really did consider that I was on the tail end of the pioneer movement, the homeschool movement in the United States, really standing on the shoulders of giants like Mike Ferris and the Homeschool Legal Defense Association and the brave moms who, under threat of truancy law and all that stuff, saw the value in education and decided to take their children home. I started homeschooling in the late 90s or in the early 90s and late 80s. And I will tell you, I was running to something, right? Something that I saw that was life-giving. You give Heidi St. John a little red wagon, I'm going to go to the library and figure it out, right? Because we saw something life-giving. We saw an opportunity. Today's generation of homeschooling families are not running to something so much as they're running from something. They're running from an educational system that is bankrupt morally, academically, spiritually, and now even physically in the attacking of our children's bodies. And so I really think that they need more support than they've ever needed because there are so many more families going, I don't really want to do this, but I don't have any other choice. And so we established the Homeschool Resource Center in order to give parents the support that they need. So if you came to me and you said, I'm going to take my child out of the public school system, I just really don't want to teach chemistry, I don't want to dissect a frog on my kitchen counter, I really want my child to be in a choir, I really want her to have dance. We have all of those things, and they are done on an a la carte basis there. It's not a school. You can't drop your kids off. But what we do is we connect parents with tutors. And so we have over 230 classes there right now, over 800 students. And if you put all the classes together, those 800 kids are in. It's roughly 2,300 classes that are that students are in classes right now at the Resource Center.
It's incredible.
It's amazing. We have a bookstore there and a coffee shop. It's like a Disneyland for homeschool moms, right? So you can come and find, what I call the three C's, coffee and curriculum and classes, right? And also price. So there's four of them.
There's four.
So it really is a life-giving place. The 700 Club was out recently with David Brody talking to us about what was happening in Vancouver. It's a miracle story, and we'd like to see it replicated across the country.
That's fantastic.
Come out. It's amazing.
That's awesome. All right. So I just had Trent Talbot in the Treehouse recently.
Love those guys.
Yes. So I want to talk about your new book with Brave Books. That's a children's book.
Yes.
That is what I love doing. I'm like hitting my microphone here. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So tell me about The Mouse and the Sea.
Yes. So The Mouse and the Sea is my first children's book, my first book with Brave. I love Brave. And when they contacted me, of course, I jumped at the chance because I love the publishing company that's going to give Scholastic a run for its money.
Yes.
Go.
Yes, yes, yes.
And The Mouse and the Sea is kind of a mirror of my own life. I think as a homeschool mom in many ways, this little guy who has a gift of help, I feel like God's given me a gift of help and I like to help other people. This mouse gets himself in trouble when he's so busy helping other people. But when the bad guys come and his friends offer to help him, he's like, no, I got it. Like every martyr homeschool mom I've ever met every martyr mom I've ever met. So I think the story teaches children that it's a good thing to ask for help. And at the same time, I think it's going to encourage parents.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to ask for
help.
Every
Brave book encourages parents.
Yes. Every Brave
book
does.
It really does.
And so that's really the goal of this one, to say, listen, ask for help. We were created for community. We need each other. Every mom needs that mom on speed dial that she can call and go, girl, I just cannot. I cannot. And that friend's going to go, oh, girl, you need a mocha with extra whip. I will be there in 15 minutes. You need those people in your life.
Yes.
Real life is better than virtual life.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of the week and twice on Sunday. And that's another message that parents can get from The Mouse and the Sea. And I'm just thrilled with it. I hope to be able to write more.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, since you brought it up, virtual, what did you just say? Virtual real life is better than virtual life.
Real life is better, yes.
So did you kind of see having your kids kind of going from 30s to down?
Yeah.
What's your youngest age
13.
Right now? 13.
So I have 32 to 13.
All right, we meet there. My oldest is 13 right now. So have you seen this progression of cell phone use and screens?
Absolutely.
And just from...
Yeah, absolutely. If I could change one thing in my mothering, my generation, I just was reading a statistic recently that says that my generation, so I'm in my 50s, is the last fully analog generation. And this generation coming up is the first fully digital generation.
Yeah.
And so cell phones were really coming into vogue and being introduced when I was raising children. So my kids are like 13 years old when Facebook came out, you know, that kind of thing.
Wow.
And we had no idea the addictive nature. We didn't know what social media was going to do. We didn't know what cell phones were going to do. If I had had the foresight to understand the power of social media, I would never have given my kids access to Facebook when they were young. I never would have done social media. I probably wouldn't have given them our old cell phones, that kind of thing. We're raising our daughter, Sailor, our youngest, in a very different world. And so she does not have social media, and she will not get it until she leaves our home.
Yeah.
Because what we've noticed is it really is addictive, and it takes kids into a world that they're not ready for and that is actually bent on injuring them.
Mm.
And so I don't want my daughter getting her self-worth and an idea of what's beautiful from TikTok.
Yeah.
I don't want her getting it from, you know, the gram. I want her getting it from me and her dad and our extended family, which is ginormous now.
Yeah.
And the community that she is in real life, because those are the people that know her. When she tries to get her self-worth and base it on an image that she sees on TikTok or Instagram or I'm told Facebook's really old school now. No one really does that anymore. It's very, very, very passe. But if she were to try to do that, I think it would injure her. And even though we haven't had any terrible blowback from social media with our kids, I think partly because Jay and I were at least wise enough to say, hey, you can't be on that 24/7. I just wish that we wouldn't have given our children access to it at all.
Yeah.
So, you know, once you're out of high school and your brain is a little bit more, you know, solid and those synapses are not forming.
Yeah.
Then if you want to get on social media, fine. Yeah. But you know what I'm discovering with my 13-year-old? She's just fine without it.
Yeah.
She's just fine
without
it.
That's what I was going to ask you.
And they beg all the time, right?
Okay.
The kids are just like, oh, please, please, please. Well, guess what? Be the mom.
Yes.
Be the dad.
Yes.
I love you. I understand that you think this would be good for you. I know, however, that it would not be good for you. And so the answer is no.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's okay to say no.
It is.
To your kids.
It is.
And most of the time, it's good for them.
Yep.
You know, most of the time, it's good for them. So that'd be my one thing I would change. I just, it makes me sick what's happening to our young people because of social media. It's just sick.
Yeah. Kids need boundaries.
They do.
We all need boundaries.
Well, and all you got to do, I mean, obviously, you know, this isn't a place for examples, but all you have to do is search any horrific hashtag that you could think of on Instagram, and you're going to be subjected to pornography.
Yeah.
Your kids are going to see images that they have no business seeing.
Yeah.
And they're going to hear things they have no business hearing and that their minds are not ready for and they cannot comprehend. It is a dangerous place for children. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is get on TikTok and watch the upcoming future generation of influencers peddling lies to kids. It's a very dangerous thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's awesome. All right. Well, I could talk to you all day, I'm pretty sure.
Same, girl. Yes.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Guys, I'm so excited that we had Heidi today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for
chatting with me. She is seriously on the front lines, guys. So go check out her resources, buy her books. So awesome. Listen to your podcast. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So, all right, guys. Thank you so much. See you soon.
Wait, before you go, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Treehouse Storyteller so we can stay connected. Head on over to thetreehousestoryteller.com for more products, artwork, photography, and encouragement. See you next time.